Well, hi there again. I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, later on we'll have another episode from the Darker Project series, Tales from the Museum. But we'll start off with this piece from the Icebox Radio Theater in International Falls. Now, in movie making, there's this story told about the filming of the movie Terminator, in which the director told Arnold Schwarzenegger, "Now, I want you to cross this street, go over to that car over there on the other side, and try the door. And if the door is locked, smash the window, then open the door and get in." Well, it seems that they had not cleared filming on that street with anybody, and they didn't own that car. So, our story tonight is kind of like that, except that there's a guy who's looking for places to film, and on a low-budget independent film. So, his job is the same as the title for this piece. It's a job that's common before movies are made. And his job is called Location Scout from the Icebox Radio Theater.
Is he still out?
Yeah. I wish I could sleep like that.
Oh, let's just leave him for the moment. Come on. Wow.
Yeah.
Just like I said.
Okay, I admit it. It's pretty good.
Pretty good? It's fantastic. It's a forgotten graveyard deep in the dark, foreboding woods.
And you got a permit to shoot the movie here?
That's the beauty of it. This isn't an official cemetery anymore. No one's been buried here since 65 when that town back there died.
We passed a town?
Exactly. That abandoned shack about a mile back, that used to be a store. The only public building in town. Last resident moved away in the 70s, which means that no one is gonna know we're even up here.
So you don't have permission?
Who's gonna know?
Okay, so how are we going to get a crew in here? There's no electrical or anything.
Oh, you're worried about your glamour light, aren't you?
Not just that. There's Camera, Crafty, Video Village, everything. I mean, we're in the middle of the woods, TJ. Where do we go to the bathroom?
It's guerrilla filmmaking, baby. We're paying our dues on this one.
We've been paying our dues on the last three.
Yeah, but I have a good feeling about this one. We have a script. A beautiful lead.
Thank you.
And most importantly, funding.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
About what?
Well, this funding you keep talking about.
You sound doubtful. You think I'd lie about something this important?
Yes.
Well, okay, so I have lied a few times, but that's just to get the movie made. You gotta break a few eggs, right?
Where's the money coming from, TJ? Oh.
Trust me, we'll be fully funded with top-flight crew, honey buckets down the road, and a fleet of generators to keep the whole thing going.
It sounds expensive.
I spare no expense for my art.
I've made three movies with you. You spare every expense for your art. Now, where is this money coming from? Are you dealing again?
Of course not. Never again, I promise you.
TJ.
A little bit. But just because I needed gas money to get up here today?
My confidence soars. Seriously, though, this movie is gonna have a budget?
The best. It'll be like working for Disney.
And the money's legal, right?
Of course! Okay, maybe. Sort of.
You're telling me where the money's coming from right now, or I walk.
Promise, you won't freak out.
Too late.
Okay. It's coming from out there.
Where are you pointing? The cemetery?
Yeah!
I don't understand. What are you suggesting?
Just that this movie is the one. This is the picture where everything comes together for us. Finally, after years of YouTube premieres and rejections from festivals. We've got all the pieces in place. We've got a great script, we've got a great cast, and we've got gold.
I'm sorry, did you say gold?
Yes.
You mean literal gold? Shiny, metal, valuable gold?
Don't, he's up, be cool.
What? Why?
I didn't know we were coming to the cemetery.
What?
Oh my gosh, I think I needed that nap. Do you have any water?
Oh, sure, sure. Here you go, Carl.
Oh, do you have any that's non-bottled water? I'm allergic.
Oh, I'm not sure. Beezy?
Here, have a swig from my water bottle.
Is this from a single source?
Sure. The filter pitcher in my fridge.
Oh. Well, if I swell up and look like I'm gonna die, there's a Benadryl in my bag. Oh,
so noted. But we won't need it. Did you have a nice nap?
I've had better. Where's the cabin?
Right. So the thing is,
this place looks familiar.
Okay, so don't be mad.
Really familiar.
But I might have employed some directional fiction in order to get you to come along today.
Directional fiction?
It's what TJ calls lying.
You mean we're not up here to look at a cabin?
No, there is no cabin.
But we need a cabin for the movie. My script has a cabin. The title of the movie is The Cabin. Where's the cabin?
We'll build a cabin. Right over there.
But the cemetery is in the way.
We'll set it back into the woods a bit and the crew can come together and...
Wait. The cemetery.
Right! You know, I was thinking maybe we could...
I just realized where we are. Why did you bring me here? You didn't. You aren't. Take me back.
Okay. Hold on now.
Take me back to the city right now.
Just relax a moment. Hear the pitch, you know.
TJ, what did you do?
Got me drunk and took advantage of me. That's what.
What?
Not like that. Look, can we all just...
Tell me what he did.
Beezy?
You just... be quiet. You, tell me what he did.
All right. But only because you gave me water. Do you remember when we got together at TJ's house to celebrate starting the movie?
Of course.
And he had that fire pit in the backyard and we were all drinking wine and you went to bed?
I had an early call the next day. Now, what did he do?
Well, we got to telling stories. And I told him about a legend in my family, about my great-great-grandfather Joe. Joseph Cotton was his name.
Like the old movie actor?
Who?
Ugh, never mind. Go on.
Well, the legend my father told me was that great-grandpa Joe amassed a fortune. He had gold, some jewelry, old coins, all kinds of stuff. And he kept it buried in the backyard.
Okay.
And when he died, he wanted it all to be buried with him. Dad said he was a little crazy that way. So they buried him and the treasure at the Oak Ridge Pioneer Cemetery, because he used to live just down the road from there.
And you told this legend to TJ?
Well, I mean, I only came up here once, but it sure looks the same.
At this cemetery?
I remember that angel with the missing nose pretty distinctively.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty distinctive.
Terrence, I have a question for you.
Wow, she sounds like your mom when she calls you that.
Carl, one moment. Terrence?
Yes, Peasy?
The funding for our movie, where's it coming from? Where is the funding for our movie coming from? The funding. And please, please, for the love of God, don't tell me we are going to dig it up in a cemetery.
Okay. I won't tell you.
Oh, TJ!
Think of it as a kind of, investment archaeology.
It's grave robbing.
Investment archaeology.
And from Carl's relative, no less. What kind of a monster are you?
That's a very good point.
What, that you're a monster?
No, that this is actually Carl's decision. We've got nothing to do with it. It's his relative.
It's still illegal. It's desecrating a corpse.
We're not desecrating anything. We're gonna respectfully move some dirt around to expose the coffin.
Oh my God.
Then, very respectfully, liberate something from the coffin and then put everything back the way we found it. Respectfully.
I am going back to the car. Carl, are you coming? Carl?
Yes.
You're not actually considering this, are you?
Well, the thing is, no one in the family really liked Grandpa Joe. He was kind of a jerk.
But you can't seriously be thinking. Are you seriously thinking?
I doubt we can even find the grave. I mean, look at the headstones. Most of them are tipped over.
Yeah, but if we did find it... Oh, you can't be thinking that, can you?
The Cabin is my 10th screenplay.
What?
This movie, our movie, is the 10th screenplay I've written. None of them have gotten this far before. Most of the producers and the agents don't even write back. I once paid Service $200 to give me notes. And you know what this service wrote?
What?
Keep your day job. They kept the $200, though.
Okay, I get it. This business is really tough. But are you willing to go this far to make a movie? A movie that probably won't even go anywhere?
Hey.
Shh. Carl?
I'm willing to look for Grandpa Joe, but I make no promises if we find him.
You can change your mind at any time. I promise.
Then, yeah, let's go for a walk in the graveyard.
Well, how about this one?
No.
Okay, what about this one?
I don't think so.
Are you seriously gonna do this the whole way?
Do what?
Go from grave to grave asking?
You know a better way to find it?
We shouldn't be looking for it at all.
As you've said repeatedly, so I will repeat, it's not our decision. It's Carl's.
Carl, kiddo.
Don't ask me again. I don't know what I'm gonna do when we find the grave.
Did you hear that? When we find the grave. I love that confidence.
But we don't need to do this. We can find a cabin, we can rent a grip truck, and make your movie without disturbing Grandpa Joe.
What's a grip truck?
About $500 a day.
The point is, we don't need to do this to make the movie. We have cameras.
Cell phones.
And lights.
From the half-broken unit my parents gave me for graduation.
And we have plenty of friends that will help.
If we agree to pay them. After last time, it was impressed upon me that money is now a requirement to work on my films.
What happened last time?
Oh, a car chase scene that kind of got out of hand and raised a few insurance rates.
We ran over an ice cream stand.
Oh, that's sad.
So you don't need to do this.
But it would be a lot better if you did. Find the money, I mean. Then you wouldn't just be a writer, you'd be an executive producer.
Oh...
Don't be so down. We're gonna make a great film together.
I'm not down.
Well, then why the long face?
I found it.
What?
I found it. Look.
Hey! Oh, you can just make it out. Joseph Cotton, 1894 to 1964. Wow!
Are you sure this is him?
Well, I only came up here once. It was with my dad, and I was maybe 11, 12... But it looks about right.
Well, there's one way to find out.
Stop!
What's happening?
It's Carl's decision, remember?
Oh, right. Carl?
I can't watch.
I understand. You're making the right decision.
No, I want him to dig it up. I just can't watch.
What?
You got it.
Oh, Carl, you shouldn't... I mean, you don't
I never knew Grandpa Joe. I only heard stories about him. And if he really did get buried with $1 million, I don't see the harm.
A million? Yeah!
Honestly, it was kind of a rotten thing to do. My dad worked 3 jobs after Mom died, and he wanted to be a writer, too. Just didn't have time. If he had that money, maybe he could have done something besides drywall apartments we could never afford to live in. So, yeah, I want Grandpa Joe's money. I just don't want to watch this part.
Well, I hope you're proud of yourself.
Hey, give me that bottle of water, would you?
I'm going back to the car with Carl.
Uh-huh. This is gonna be great.
All right. Ooh, break time. Oh, who knew that back-breaking manual labor was so hard? Ooh, indeed. I didn't think there was going to be anything harder than getting a meeting at Warner's or Netflix. Not that I've ever gotten a meeting at Netflix or Disney or Pluto TV. Oh, it's one of those free streaming services that shows old horror films and cheap knockoffs. You know? Like my movies. Ooh, indeed. Wait a minute. Am I having a conversation with an owl? Well, am I? This is your cue to hoot? Nothing. Story of my life. No one follows direction. What are you doing out in the daytime, owl? You know, my grandma always told me that was a bad omen. She was a great one for superstition. Owls out in the daytime, salt over the shoulder, don't break mirrors, don't walk under ladders, etc. Not me, though. I was always practical. Luck has nothing to do with it. You want something, like a decent-looking film? You don't need luck. You need cash. Ooh. Oh, you, me, anybody. Money. That's what runs the world. The lust for money. That's what put me in this hole in the middle of nowhere. Who am I kidding? Oh, Beezy's right. This is ridiculous. No one's gonna bury a treasure in a grave. Right, Owl? I mean, you live around here. You hang around this graveyard. You ever see anybody buried with their life savings? That's what I thought. I'm such an idiot. And now Beezy's gonna be mad at me for months. Enough! You got me, okay, Owl? I'm feeling... I don't know what I'm feeling. A little freaked out. You see, Grandma didn't just say an owl out in the daytime was a bad omen. She said it was a lost soul. Are you a lost soul? And he just stares at me. Not disturbing at all. Jeez, it flew right over my head. What did I say? I'm sorry. My hands are shaking. Just get a grip, Terrence. Beezy's right. This is wrong. What happened to me? I'm literally digging up a grave, and for what? To make a movie? We can make a movie without this. We don't need the good equipment and the good talent and the... Something's down there. Yes? 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 Yes?
You shouldn't blame yourself. TJ has a way of getting whatever he wants.
I'm a monster.
Oh, you're not a monster.
Yes, I am. I dug up my great-great-grandfather's grave for money.
No, you didn't. Do the digging, I mean.
It makes no difference.
It's probably not even there.
Why do you keep saying that? You didn't even know Grandpa Joe.
Well, to be honest, Carl, neither did you, right? I mean, he died before you were born, I assume.
Well... Yes.
So you only know Grandpa Joe as a family legend. Your master secret keeper who went to his grave with a fortune. It's just, I mean, no offense, but it just doesn't sound plausible, does it?
Why not?
Well, how many people knew about it? Everyone in your family?
I suppose. We talk about it all the time.
Where did you first hear the story?
Thanksgiving, I guess. Grandma Ruth told it. She was always the best storyteller.
Okay, and how many people were there?
10, I suppose. Maybe 12.
So 12 people heard this story. Some had heard it before, right?
I guess.
Well, that's a lot of people to keep a secret. Remember, all it takes is one person to let it slip, and then it's just out there in the world. A story like this would spread. A lot of people not related to Grandpa Joe would hear about it.
So?
So, if it is true, I'm thinking somebody has probably dug it up already.
Well, if you think that, why did you come here today?
TJ lied to me just like he lied to you. He said we were scouting locations.
So, you don't think there's a treasure?
I think it was a wonderful story for your family to share with each other, but no. I don't think there's a treasure. Not anymore.
I suppose maybe you're right.
Of course.
Should we go get TJ? He's digging up a grave, after all.
I suppose we should stop him before he commits a felony. Again. But maybe we should...
Hi!
Hello.
What's that?
That, my fellow, is a bag. A satchel, I believe. Maybe a Gladstone bag.
It's not a Gladstone bag. I did research on luggage for a script once.
That must have been one hell of a read.
TJ, did you find the...
Yes. He wasn't even 6 feet deep. I hit the coffin, which was falling apart anyway, and then, well, I opened it.
You opened it?
I opened it. Grandpa Joe says hi.
So, was he holding the bag, clutching it, looking ready to exact revenge on whomever desecrated his final resting place?
Wow, you really are a writer, aren't ya? No, he was just kind of there, you know? Kind of a mixture of clothing bits and, you know?
Bones.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna be sick.
Oh, don't do that just yet. It's time for the big reveal.
You haven't opened it?
No, I figured you two would want to be here. Besides, I think this actually belongs to Carl, so the honor is his.
Oh, does it feel heavy?
Yeah. Jingles around a lot, too, like there's metal in there.
Oh.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Oof, it is heavy. Okay, I'll open it. But you have to make me a promise.
Oh, I promise you we will make the best movie your script can possibly make, and make us all rich and famous, and...
No, I need you to promise to give the money away.
Of course! Whatever you need... Wait, what?
You have to give the money away. To a charity, like a children's hospital or something.
Sure, I mean, after we make the movie, of course, we'll take a portion of the profits, and we'll just...
No, this money in the bag. It goes to charity. All of it.
But she never said anything about charity before. Why did she let me dig it up if we're just gonna throw it away? Did you know about this?
Honestly, no, but it's not a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea. Everything I've worked for my whole life has led to this moment, and now you just want to throw it away?
He was a crook.
What?
Great-great-grandpa Joe was a crook. Everyone in the family knew it. He ran scams, robbed people. There was even a story he killed a guard during a bank robbery once.
Oh, so what? Half the producers in Hollywood could say the same.
This money has to be turned to good, and that's final.
Wait.
What is it?
This.
TJ?
Put the bag on the ground.
You brought a gun to a location scout?
Of course I did. We were going up into the woods. This is for safety.
Put it down.
Not until he puts down the bag.
You're robbing our screenwriter?
Don't be so melodramatic. I'm just ensuring the production goes forward.
At gunpoint?
Oh, Steven Spielberg does this all the time.
No, he doesn't.
Quentin Tarantino, then. Now, Carl, put down the bag.
You know, I'd like to, but there's a problem.
Whatever it is, we can work it out.
Not really, because the problem is this.
What?
Whoa.
You have a gun, too?
Yeah. You know, when I said great-great-grandpa Joe was a crook, I may have neglected to mention the rest of us are crooks, too.
Look, we can talk about this.
Sure. Yeah. Just as soon as you put down that gun.
Sure. Sure. Just... Hey, wait a minute.
TJ, what are you doing?
He just admitted he's a crook, and what happens when I put my gun down?
TJ...
As a matter of fact... I don't think I'm going to give you my gun, because I don't think you're going to give that money to charity at all. You're going to keep it. And I think if I put my gun down, you're going to take our wallets and steal the car and leave us to starve to death out in the woods.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You wouldn't do that, right, Carl?
Of course not. I was serious when I said I want to give the money away. But leaving you two up here isn't a bad idea.
Wait. This is getting out of hand. Carl, why did you come up here?
I thought we were scouting locations.
So you brought a gun?
I'm usually packing. Force of habit.
And TJ, You brought a gun for protection from animals, right?
Wild animals, screenwriters, whatever.
So no one came up with a gun intending to rob anyone, right? I mean, no one meant any harm, right? I mean, shooting another human being is a big deal. It's not natural. I mean, the army has to come up with all kinds of weird training exercises because soldiers can't shoot when they see another human in their sights. That's common knowledge, right? It's hard to shoot somebody, so no one here is going to shoot anyone today, right? Right?
I guess not.
Well, no.
Okay, so both of you are going to put your guns down and relax. All right, good. Now give me the bag.
What? Hey, give me that back!
Hang on!
No! I'm gonna open this bag and prove to both of you that there's nothing in it but rocks. There's no way someone would be buried with their fortune. And if they were, there's no way the fortune would go untouched for decades. This bag is full of rocks. Shiny metal rocks.
Some of which have been reshaped into jewelry.
And coins.
That's a $20 gold piece. A double eagle.
Are they valuable?
$2,000 each on the low end.
The bag's full of them. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we give it away, right, Carl? You said you were going to give it away because your grandfather was a crook. This is a karma thing, right? You're trying to bring balance to things, right?
You know what I think I want? I think I want to make a movie.
Yes! Oh, I promise you, you'll never regret it. This is going to be a fantastic film.
That I want to direct.
Wait. What?
Yes, I want to direct, which means there's no room for you.
Carl?
Oh, hell no.
TJ?
Put down your gun.
You put yours down.
Carl, stop!
I've paid my dues. You think you can take this away from me just because you have a bag full of money? That's not how the movie industry works.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes, it is, but you're not going to take this away from me. I've waited too long. I've worked too hard. You put down that gun.
You put down your gun.
No, you put yours down.
No, you put it down.
Last chance?
That's right. It is.
I'm going to count to three.
Not if I count to three first. One.
Two.
And then there's a huge gun battle, and the two selfish ingrates murder each other in cold blood. The selfless, beautiful leading lady sits clutching the bag of gold in the middle of the carnage. Her eyes fill with tears as she stares into the middle distance, contemplating the fragile psyche of humanity. Just then, an owl lands on the ground in front of her and says, "Who?" Fade to black.
Wow. Well, I've got to tell you, Mrs. Robinson, I've listened to a lot of pitches since I've been in charge of production here at Netflix. But that might be one of the best.
Thank you. We're talking to Kevin Costner's people about voicing the owl.
Excellent. I think we can certainly do some business together. Now, you understand things are very competitive in the industry at the moment. I know we have a reputation for writing some big checks around here, but we can only do so much.
Oh, that's okay. I have my own source of funding. Tell me, where can a girl sell some gold in Los Angeles?
Thank you. The Location Scout was written by Jeffrey Adams. Cast included Caleb Silvers as TJ, Ayla McIntosh as BZ, and Dalton Johnson was Carl. Give him a big hand.
And won't you please follow me through these announcements for more audio drama.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at onlinekfai.org. And you're listening to.
Sound, radio playground. On KFAI, Fresh Air Radio.
Radio. Welcome back to Sound Effects. I'm Jerry Stearns. And next up, we have another episode from Tales of the Museum by DarkerProjects.com. In this, Keith Nash from the museum is on vacation in the Tennessee woodlands. He gets a call that their director of the museum is now missing in those same woodlands. And Keith has to wonder a couple of things. One, is she a victim of other mysterious events in these same woods? And two, are the fish biting today? This is episode 11 from Tales of the Museum, and it takes place in Bloody Haven.
Darker Projects presents Tales from the Museum, a miniseries written by Charles Russell, starring Perry Whittle as Keith Nash.
Time you showed up. When did you drag yourself in?
Oh, midnight. Would have gotten here sooner, but I had some things to do.
Did you find the cabin all right? Been a few years since you've been up in these parts.
Went right to it. Just like I remembered it. No TV, no phone, just right. Slept like a log.
Glad to hear it. Good to see you back up here, too. Always worries me when some of my best customers miss a couple of seasons. Especially one of the Nash boys. Your grandpa and me, well, we built this place, you know?
I've heard the stories. A few times. Missed you too, Pappy.
So, what you got on deck for your vacation?
Well, I'm gonna spend today just relaxing. Then, you're gonna tell me where they're biting. Then, I'm going there.
Hi there, Pappy.
Morning, Lisa. How's my favorite deputy?
Mean and ornery, Pappy. Tell me something, Pappy. Do you have a Keith Nash staying in one of your cabins? He works for the museum in Johnson City.
Maybe.
It's an emergency, Pappy.
What sort of emergency?
Don't know. We just know he's in one of the cabins up here somewhere. I even have a code word.
Code word?
Yeah. It's a weird one. I'm supposed to say Vienna sausage casserole.
Pappy, where's your phone?
Office. Help yourself.
Are you Keith Nash?
Yep.
Johnson City Regional Museum, how may I direct your call?
Hilda, it's Keith Nash.
Oh, Keith, thank heavens somebody found you. I'll put you right through to the employee lounge. Casey should still be down there, I think. Please hold.
Everything okay?
Hard to tell with these people.
Boss, boss, that you?
Yeah, start talking.
Right, right. Where do I start? You left yesterday, a little after noon. A couple hours after you left, Pierpont calls Dr. Mancuso into his office. Then she leaves.
So? Helene's always being sent out on special assignments.
I know, but early this morning she tries to call here. Her signal's weak, and Hilda, bless her, can barely hear her. But Hilda can make out the words help and in trouble. Then we lose her. Now, she's not answering her phone.
Any explanation from Pierpont?
El Jefe says that he got a call from Carter Community College. He said that they told him that they had a group of students up there near Lake Bristol. They were supposed to be digging up some old mining camp.
And?
The college was relaying a request for technical expertise from the field group, which makes you wonder what would need an archaeologist. Anyway, since they got that request yesterday, they've heard nothing from their team either. Pierpoint's been scrambling to get someone up there to find out what's what. Then someone remembered you saying you were going to be vacationing up in that area. By the way, it wasn't me.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I'm settling up too. I'm a couple of hours out, so please don't do anything weird until I get there.
No promises.
Well?
Even on vacation, those people can find me. Looks like a friend might be in trouble.
I'm supposed to drive you straight there.
I'll need a couple things out of my truck. After that, I'm all yours.
Do you know the area, Mr. Nash?
Some parts of it pretty well. My family's from Crockett County. We used to come over here all the time, hunting and fishing. By the way, it's Nash. Just Nash.
That makes you related to Hiram Nash, right?
My grandfather. What do you know about this research group, Deputy Hedrick?
Lisa. Not much. They came up from the community college just a couple days ago. There were 6 students and a teacher. They're supposed to be excavating the old mining camp.
One of the old gold strikes?
Mm-hmm. Well, Zara used to be full of them. They're all pretty much dabbed out by the end of the Civil War. Their camp is off an old logging road just north of here. It's a remote area. Nothing much out there but bear and deer and mountain lions. The sheriff said their vehicles are parked off-road and we'll have to hike in a ways. You up for that?
Any time.
Mr. Nash, you keep glancing over at me. Have I sprouted another head or something?
Actually, I was noticing your firearm. Not many cops pack revolvers these days. Smith & Wesson, .357.
Daddy always told me to stick with what works. And this works. What are you carrying?
What makes you think I...
Oh, please. You go to your truck and come back with a suspicious bulge under your arm. Just because I talk slow don't mean I'm stupid.
9mm Beretta. Had it for a while now. Like you said, it works.
You got the right ticket for concealed carry.
Yes, I do. But thanks for checking.
Not sure what to make of this. It's... well, it's totally beyond anything I have.
Find
if it's for real, anyway.
Tape recorder.
One
trying to see if it's got anything helpful.
Remembered that the Regional Museum in Johnson City has an archaeology department. I've sent Morrison to town to call the college and have them make a formal request for some expertise. They're a couple of hours away, and I hope they have someone who can make some sense of this.
Thanks, Mr. Marks. But your little audio log doesn't really do much to help me find my friend, or your missing students, or you. This laptop must have been left on all night. Battery's dead.
Well, there's no one in any of the tents. Looks like some folks came in, pitched camp, had supper, and then got up this morning and hiked off. Sounds like the setup for one of those stupid teen scary movies my son insists on renting.
Something else. My phone's the exact same model as Dr. Mancuso's. Look at this. I've got full signal. I could call Moscow and they'd hear me just fine. But when she called the museum, they could barely make out what she was saying before the signal faded out.
So she wasn't standing right here when she called. Oh, something else. I found tracks. Looks like several sets. Head north over there. Also, Nash, there's something moving in the woods behind you. Maybe 10 paces.
There's something in the woods across the clearing, too. I just spotted them.
The students?
Can't tell. Why would they be sneaking around in the woods?
Look out!
Come on, Nash. Snap out of it. Come on.
Not so loud. What happened?
You and your friend over there.
Hey there, Nash.
Were jumped and roughed up by a pack of possessed community college students and their teacher.
Marks? They attacked us?
They threw the two of you in here a while ago. We're in an old mine. They've rigged a door out of some planks, so we're basically trapped in here. Your friend has a broken arm. I've splinted it as best as I can. I also took the protein bar you had in your jacket. I'm sorry, I was starving.
No problem. Thanks for propping me up. Hey, they left my pistol in the holster.
Yeah, mine too.
Well, that's because they won't do a lot of good.
Say again?
Can you stand? Feel like walking?
Let's see. Oh, ah. Okay, I'm up. I'm up.
I'll just hang here and guard the entrance.
Take it easy.
This way. Here's another flashlight. Watch your step. I got here late yesterday. One of the students met me in town. He brought me up here, and they grabbed me. I was tossed in here, and I tried to call for help, but...
So what's going on?
What's going on is in this chamber. Against the left wall and the right wall.
Skeletons? 3 skeletons. They're wearing uniforms.
Confederate cavalry. Their captain was over there. In that.
It's a sarcophagus?
Not in the classic sense of the word. Look at this. It's made of rocks and red clay. The clay came from a vein 30 feet further down the tunnel. The lid is wooden. It's kind of crude, but it looks like something that someone who had heard stories of what a sarcophagus looks like without seeing one might carve.
I hate asking this, but who or what was in here?
The captain. Nash, something very evil is walking around these hills. Something one of those students let out. I've seen it. It looks human, but smells like a rotting corpse. The students I saw, they all had puncture wounds on their necks.
Helene, are you saying that...
Nash, the only reason I'm not one of them is because I'm wearing this. It spooks them.
That's the crucifix your grandmother sent you for your birthday. Silver?
Pewter. It's really old. Remind me to never complain about her taste in jewelry ever again. Nash, pretty soon they'll be coming for you.
Let's get back to Lisa. Any other way out of here? Air shaft, maybe?
No. The tunnel dead ends at a solid wall of granite. Any ideas?
No. You?
Well, I've been whittling this piece of wood into a stake. Thanks for the Swiss Army knife, by the way.
Everything okay, Lisa?
Nothing's changed over here. What's our status?
Okay, we got 2 pistols, 1 crucifix, and 1 stake. Not much to work with, but I hope one of them should do the trick.
Not entirely, sir. Silver would have that desired effect, as does a crucifix. The stake through the heart will also take care of the matter, but there is a certain specific technique to it. Ah, the gentleman and the constable both reach for their weapons. How predictable. Bullet's a little more than an irritation to me.
It's him.
Him who?
I have had many names over the years, sir, but you may call me Haven. Captain James Robert LaFontaine Haven, formerly of the 23rd Virginia Light Cavalry, at your service, sir. Dr. Mancuso and I have already met. I do hope my appearance has improved somewhat, Doctor.
He's Bloody Haven. You are Bloody Haven.
I never cared for that appellation, but yes, I am.
Who?
He's a local legend. Confederate cavalry officer. Yankees are terrified of him. He always used to lead his men into the thickest battles. Story is that he and his men would drink the blood of their fallen foes. Eat their hearts.
A vampire.
I've never cared for that particular appellation either. But yes.
Skeletons? Were they vampires too?
No, but I think they wanted to be. Three of my most loyal men, also mortally wounded. I do believe that this final resting place was the work of the last survivor of my troop. His name was Talmage. He was a talented woodwright. I can easily see him bringing his comrades to this place and building this fine resting place for me. Yes, Talmage was an artist and romantic at heart. I remember how he was enthralled by the tales and ancient lore I would relate around our campfires. He was from this area. He would know of these mines. I do wonder if he survived. Wars are hardest on men like Talmage.
Were you wounded at Blake's Ferry?
No, sir. I was wounded in a skirmish several weeks after Blake's Ferry. Although I was present at that battle, my men and I fell to a larger enemy force. I watched my men crumble beneath a withering Yankee onslaught.
So what happened to you?
It is very difficult to kill one of my breed, but you can wound us. I know I had several bullet wounds in my chest. My body must have gone into a dormant state while it repaired. To a casual observer, like Corporal Talmage, I would have appeared quite dead. A given time, my body did heal itself, but I was weakened. Too weak to even lift the relatively light lid of my sarcophagus. There was nothing to do but bide my time and rest.
Until those students showed up.
Oh, indeed, Constable. I could hear them. I could sense them. But I was too weak to summon one closer. But one of them, one of the females, found the entrance to my tomb and entered. That's when I had her. Called her to my casket and ordered her to open it. She struggled with the lid, but she succeeded. And then I feasted on her blood.
Then what?
Well, then I used her to call one of her friends. Feasted on him as well. Had to feed on all of them just to regain my strength.
Are they dead or just under your control?
I'm not a monster, Mr. Nash. I do not kill recklessly.
So what are your plans?
Plans? Oh, I plan to venture out into the world.
Well, things have changed a little.
Why, yes. Imagine my surprise. I wake in a time where the vampire is not a villain. Oh, no. Here I am a noble victim. Here I'm a hero and, dare I say it, a romantic figure. I think I'll like it here. First, I need some sustenance. Constable, would you please?
Get away from me.
You have no choice, my dear.
Let me go! Let me go! Nash, help me!
Get away from her, now.
Oh, Mr. Nash. There he stands. Battered and clinging to a pistol which he knows will not kill me. Heroic? almost noble, but pathetic.
Haven, do you know what I really like about my job?
Having the party.
I get to meet such interesting people. Local celebs, national dignitaries, intellectuals, even a few artisans.
Intriguing.
Including one very talented silversmith.
I am immortal.
I do hope you enjoyed it. Helene, the steak.
Here, catch! Is it dead?
I really hope so.
You were serious? You really had some silver bullets made up? I thought you were joking.
One clip of 9mm hollow points. It seemed like a good idea.
Good idea. Sweetheart, how about a great idea? What's happening to him?
Never watched a horror movie. He's disintegrating. He's ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Hi, boss. Just dropped Dr. Mancuso at her place. She said she was going to go inside, take a bath, and sleep this whole thing off, which sounds like a pretty good plan to me. You know, I could have just stayed in the museum and phoned this one in for all the good I did. Did they decide on the cover story for the college folks?
Well, it looks like the bite marks on their necks have already healed over. So I think we might go with the old hallucinogenic fungus in the casket scenario. You know, just in case someone does ask. Pierpoint will have a team out here tomorrow to haul in the sarcophagus. There's supposed to be some guys from the Civil War Association coming along. Anyway, I'm going to finish up here at the sheriff's office, then head out myself.
Right. Well, I'll see you next week sometime. Enjoy your vacation, or, you know, what's left of it.
Well, hey, Nash.
Lisa, how's the arm?
It hurts, but Doc says I'll be able to play the tuba in no time.
Good.
Now all I need to do is take some tuba lessons.
Oh.
Well, Nash, I wanted to ask you something. This whole thing, vampires, silver bullets, missing students, I noticed that the whole time that you and Dr. Mancuso, it was like it was no big deal to you.
Yeah, you should see my job description.
Does it include fighting monsters?
Actually, it does. Unofficially.
Wow.
Remember what you said about hearing the museum was haunted? Well, it is. I run into this sort of thing a lot. The museum acts like a lightning rod for all sorts of, phenomena.
Oh.
There's something like 100 people working at that museum. Only a few of us see it.
You, Dr. Mancuso.
A few others. I bet you would, too.
You know, my son, he is gonna love this story.
That's right. You mentioned a son. You married?
Witted. My husband was in a recon unit in the Gulf. It happened about 2 years ago.
I was there for the first go-round myself. Didn't care for it. You gonna be able to drive like that?
Dad it. I can call someone to pick me up.
Nothing doing, deputy. How about we get something to eat and I drive you back to your place?
Well, I don't want to be a bother.
No bother. I'm on vacation, remember? The only pressing issue with me is to go fishing.
Fly fishing? What if I told you I know a place on a river where even a baby trout are 2 feet long?
I'd say you've just become my new best friend. Come on.
You're on.
You've been listening to Tales from the Museum, Bloody Haven. Featured in this episode were Perry Whittle as Keith Nash, Amanda Fitzwater as Dr. Helene Mancuso, Alistair Stewart as Casey, Shane Harris as Pappy, Damas Garcia as Deputy Lisa Hendrick, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard as Hilda, Stephen Scott as Marks, and David Smith as Captain James Robert LaFontaine Haven,
CSA. Original music composed by Joey Stuckey and Kevin MacLeod. This series is produced by Ellie Hirschman. Post-production work by Greg Wilkinson. The executive producer for Darker Projects is Eric Busby. This has been a Darker Projects production. If you enjoyed this production, why not book a vacation at Chestnut Grove Cabins in the woods of Granger County, Tennessee? No TV, no phones, just miles of woods and you.
That was episode 11 from Tales of the Museum. Next week we'll have episode 12, and the following week we'll wrap up the series. If you want to hear all of them, they're available at the creator's website at darkerprojects.com. If you'd like to find out what we're planning to show to play for you here on Sound Effects, you can go to greatnorthernaudio.com. On the left, there's a link to Sound Effects on KFAI. That'll tell you about the show. And there's also a page that's a schedule of what we're planning in the near future and what we played over the last few weeks, in case you want to go back and remind yourself or find something that you missed. And if you want to know, if you want to tell us something, you can write to us at soundeffects, with an A, effects, at greatnorthernaudio.com. Now, I'm Jerry Stearns, your host here on Sound Effects, a radio playground. If you need something that's gonna keep you awake for a while, well, I'd like to recommend Abby's Room for One. It's coming up next here on Fresh Air, and it'll definitely do the job. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a radio playground. Here on Fresh Air Radio.
Got a shop, studio, food truck, or side hustle with soul? KFAI loves small businesses that keep the Twin Cities vibrant. Underwriting with us gets your name out to listeners who care about showing up, buying local, and spreading the word.
Underwriting with KFAI is not just support, it's connection. Let's grow something good together. Learn more at kfai.org/underwriting.
Support for KFAI comes from The Dakota, presenting the Kronos Quartet for two shows each night, Thursday, June 18th and Friday, June 19th. The Kronos Quartet returns to record a new live album at the Dakota over these two evenings and four performances. These shows will feature thought-provoking programs built for the current moment in Minneapolis. With songs written or arranged especially for them, Kronos will musically examine human rights and reflect on the here and now. They'll be joined by powwow singer Joe Rainey and multi-instrumentalist Andrew Broder. More information about the Kronos Quartet's live album recording performances is available at dakotacooks.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes. You get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end, but rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff.
She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Say that she is not the out of one.